You would open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 is where our lesson will be taken from this morning. Before we begin, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, Lord, we bow in your presence this morning, thankful that you are God, that you rule and reign in all things. We're thankful that you are the sovereign, that salvation is in your hand, that you hold the keys of heaven and hell. Father, we're thankful that all events, all things in this creation are in thy hand. We're thankful that the heart of the king is in thy hand. And we're thankful, Father, that the heart of all men. We're thankful that our hearts are in your hand. And Father, we thank you that in your infinite grace and goodness to your people, that you have turned our hearts, that you've turned us to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you, in mercy and grace, have been pleased to reveal Christ to so many here. We're thankful that in your sovereign goodness, you've been pleased to put your gospel here in this place and given us the awesome privilege to come and to worship you through the preaching of your word. Father, we're thankful. How can we ever thank you enough? We know it's not because of any goodness or found in us, but it's all in your goodness and your providence to your people. And Father, we thank you and we praise your matchless name. And Father, I pray as we meet together this morning that you would enable us to worship thee. Give us an hour of true worship. Let the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be exalted. Here in our class this morning and in our children's classes, Father, I pray you'd bless. Bless the teachers and bless those of us who hear. Father, we pray for those that you brought into the time of trouble and trial. There are so many different afflictions of body, soul, spirit, and circumstance. Father, I pray you'd bless. Bless your people. Father, we know these things do not come by accident, but according to your eternal will and purpose to bring about your good providence. And Father, I pray that you would teach us in this time of trouble, teach us. Teach us to look to thee. Teach us more of your sufficiency, more of the glory of Christ our Savior. Give your people fulfillment of the promise that you not leave nor forsake your people. Father, again, I beg of thee, you bless us in this hour. Enable us to look into your word and see more of our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn more to depend more and more fully upon him. It's in his precious name we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 10. We have two verses in our text this morning, beginning in verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now confessing Christ, he says, the Savior says, whosoever shall confess me before men. Confessing Christ is a very important subject, isn't it? The Savior says here that we're not saved because we confess Christ, but he's saying that people who God saves, they will confess the Savior. And whoever is not saved, whoever it is that God has not saved, will not confess Christ. Now that's serious business, isn't it? Well, what is it then to confess Christ? If what the Savior says here, if I confess him before men, he'll confess me also before my Father, which is in heaven. Well, what is it to confess Christ? Well, I'm going to give you five ways this morning that a believer confesses Christ. Now first, look at Romans chapter 10. Number one, to confess Christ is to believe Christ. You know, confession of Christ has to begin with faith in Christ. It has to begin with believing Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, the key to these two verses, the key phrase here to being able to understand these two verses is not confessing with your mouth. I've heard people, you know, quote this and they say they know they're saved because they've confessed Christ with their mouth. But that's not the key to these verses. The key to these verses is believing in the heart. Now, salvation is a heart work. Salvation is a work that God does in the heart of his people. And they will confess him, but now salvation in Christ is not mere lip service. A person can only confess what is truly in their heart. Your brother Henry used to tell us, you can't tell what you don't know anymore, and you come back from where you haven't been. Well, the same thing is true about this confession. You can't confess what you don't know. You cannot confess what you do not believe. You cannot confess Christ if you don't know him, can you? So confessing Christ begins with faith. Faith in the heart. And verse 11, this is what the apostle's saying. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. It's not whosoever just shall confess him, but whosoever believes on Christ, they'll not be ashamed because they'll never be found guilty. And if you truly believe Christ, you certainly are not going to be ashamed to say what you really believe in your heart. If you believe Christ, you're not going to be ashamed to confess him. Now, the word confess that he uses here, and the same is what the Lord uses in our text, the word confess, it means to say the same thing as somebody else. To say the same thing as somebody else, and to say it publicly. So to confess Christ is to say the same thing as who? It's to say the same thing as God. To say the same thing that what God says in his word. Now, what is it that God says in his word? Well, we're going to spend a lifetime studying this book, aren't we? I mean, we just can't go through everything that God says in his word, but the believer, I'll tell you this, when they run across something in God's word, they say amen to that. Now, they say amen. I confess what it is. But what concerning salvation, let me give you a few things that God's word says about this matter of salvation. Since we're in Romans 10, this is where we'll start. Confessing Christ is saying the same thing that God says. It's to say that Christ is my justification. The way I'm made without sin is in Christ. Verse 9, Romans 10. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, confessing Christ is saying that he died for my sin. If Christ was raised from the dead, he had to die first, didn't he? Why did he die? He died for my sin. When Christ was made sin, he made my sin to be his sin. And then he died the death that that sin deserved to satisfy God's justice, to pay for that sin. And after he died, the Father raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead because the sin that had been charged our Lord Jesus Christ is gone, wiped out by his blood. The resurrection of Christ is the proof, the evidence, that the death of Christ justified his people. He died as their substitute, and by his death, he justified them. We're not justified because we start sinning less. No, we're justified in Christ by his sacrifice for us. And every believer, I don't care where you find them, every believer confesses that. All right, now look back at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, we read about the baptism of John, John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3, verse 5. Then went out to him, to John the Baptist, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. Now the baptism of John was a public confession that confessed God's right. I'm a sinner. That's what the baptism of John was. God's word says there's none good, no, not one. And we confess Christ, we say, God's right. I'm no good. That's what we confess. The baptism of John confessed the same thing all God's people confess. I'm no good, and I need a Savior to come. I need a Savior who will save me from my sin. And if he doesn't come, if he doesn't die for me, if he doesn't come to put my sin away, I've got no hope. And every believer confesses their sin. And really what we're confessing is our sin nature. We're confessing everything I do is sinful because I've got a sin nature. And we confess our need of Christ to come put our sin away. That was the baptism of John. And this confession, this saying what God says, saying the same thing that God says, this confession always has to do with Christ. Always has to do with Christ. It's who Christ is and what he has done. Now, no one is saved by our confession. We're saved by Christ. So when what are we confessing? We confess Christ. We confess him. We know that Abraham believed God. Abraham is held up to us as the example of faith in Scripture. Abraham believed God, was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, you know what? Abraham confessed. He confessed Christ. Our Lord said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Abraham confessed Christ. He saw that day he took his son, his only son, up to that mountain, that place that God would show him to offer him as a burnt offering. And Abraham turned and saw that ram behind him, caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham saw what that meant. He saw that picture. He understood there's a lamb coming. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Abraham confessed Christ. Confession always has to do with Christ. Let me show you that in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Confession always has to do with Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now I know what Paul is writing about here. I know that one day, in the day of judgment, every son of Adam will confess. They're going to say the same thing God says. Jesus Christ is Lord. I know they will in that day. But believers confess Jesus Christ is Lord, and we confess it right now. I mean, right now. This is an underpinning of our hope. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is God. He's Lord over all. That's the hope of our salvation. If God is my Savior, I can't fail to be saved. We confess Jesus Christ is Lord. We say the same thing that God says. And since he is God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign Savior. Since he's God, he's got the right to choose to save whom he will. And since he's God, he cannot fail to save his people from their sin. Since he's God, he's got the power to save any sinner that comes to him and believes upon him. There's no sin so great that the blood of Christ cannot wash it white as snow, completely gone because of who he is, because he's God. Now look at 1 John chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death, made it right for God to save his people in mercy. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, God is faithful and he's just to forgive the sins of his people. Not only faithful to forgive sins, he's just. It's right for him to forgive the sins of his people because Christ took that sin away and he paid for it. We don't pay for it. He did. Every saved person confesses that. Every one of them. Now, John isn't saying, when he talks about here, if we confess our sins, I think everybody knows this, but let's just be sure about this. When the Lord says, confess your sins, he's not telling us that we ought to confess our sinful deeds to one another. That we ought to confess all of our sinful thoughts and sinful desires to each other. If we did that, we'd hate one another. I mean, we could not stand to be around one another. That's not what the Lord's saying here. What John is saying is every believer confesses, I have a sin nature. Look at verse 8 here in 1 John 1. If we say we have no sin, now here he's talking about not sins, plural, or specific deeds. We have no sin nature. If we say that, if I say I don't have a sin nature, if I say I can do some good things, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. A believer confesses, I have a sin nature
And Christ came, not only did he come to put my sin away, he came to give me a new nature. See, I had to have my sin paid for, but somebody's got to give me a new nature too. And that's what Christ came to do. We confess, that's what he did for me. And anybody who confesses or says the same thing that some false prophet says, you know, it tells them, you know, no, you can do some good things for God. You know, you've got the ability to make a decision to get saved. You know, you've got a decision to decide whether or not you're going to accept Jesus or not, you know. Anybody that confesses that, that says the same thing as that false prophet, they're lost. They're lost. They don't know Christ because they're confessing something contrary to this book. No, they're lost, and they're going to go to hell unless God does something for them. Look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. You're confessing something that's not in God's word because you don't know Christ. Now, the only way that we can confess the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, the only way we can confess Christ is by God-given faith. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. See, the only way we can say the same, remember, confessing is saying the same thing God does. The only way we can confess and say the same thing that God says is if God's in our heart. It begins, this true confession begins with believing God. That's a confession of Christ. All right, number two, what is it to confess Christ? To confess Christ is to walk with Christ, to follow him in this world. Now remember, in order to truly confess Christ, there's got to be faith in the heart first. Got to be. You cannot confess who you do not know. But when there is faith in the heart, I promise you, there's going to be a changed walk before men. Because there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new heart. God gives his people a new heart in the new birth. And that new heart rules. So there's going to be a changed walk. And you know I'm not saying a believer is going to be perfect. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But a believer before men. Now this is talking about confessing Christ before men. A believer is going to be known as an honest person. They're going to be known as a kind person. Something's seriously wrong if that's not the case. A believer will be a hardworking person. They'll be a good employee. And you know why they'll be a good employee? Because they're working as unto the Lord, not to the boss in the corner office. That's why. A believer will be a generous person with their material blessings that God's given them. And they'll also be generous with their words of praise and thanks to others. We were having dinner with the Floyds on, what night was that? One night this week we were, and I think it was Friday night, and we were talking, and Janet told Eric how much she appreciated him teaching that class every week. That's a sacrifice. That's a, he can't, our teachers can't be out here in this class. They're teaching. He's given up something doing that. And she was telling, I appreciate your time and your talents. You just got such a gift to teach the kids. I'm so thankful. And you know what he said? He said, I'm thankful for Tara. He said, because by the time they come to me, they're so well taught. That's exactly what that's talking about. Being generous with your words. Being generous with words of praise and thanksgiving. And someone who confesses Christ, they're just going to set their moral compass by the Word of God, not by the logic of men. You know, because what men say is good and bad. The what is moral and immoral changes over the course of history, doesn't it? So we don't set our moral compass by what the world says is right and wrong, but by what the Word of God says. That's true spiritually. What's right and what's wrong? How is it that God saves sinners and how is it that God does not save sinners? You know, what's the gospel? What's not the gospel? What is the Lord Jesus Christ and what is another Jesus? We determine that by the Word of God. And that's true about how you live your life in this world. What's right? What's wrong? What's the right thing to do? What's the wrong thing to do? You know, we determine that by the Word of God. And here's another way a believer lives their life confessing Christ before men. It's by not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That's confessing Christ before men. You know, a person who confesses Christ, you know what they will do or what they won't do? They're not going to take credit for salvation. They're not going to act or think, I'm better than somebody else. They're not going to be judgmental, and they're not going to look down their nose at others, even when we know they're wrong. Now, I'm not saying you don't make a determinant. When you talk about being judgmental, I'm not saying don't make a judgment. Don't make a determination about what's right and wrong. You have to do that. You have to do that. But this is what it's saying. Don't look down your nose at them, knowing you're cut from the exact same cloth they are. And what's the reason you're not doing what they're doing? It's God's grace to you. And that's the only reason. And when you know that, you live like that, that's confessing Christ. Right, number three. What is it to confess Christ? To confess Christ is to be identified with the people of Christ. You know, a very important and public way that we confess Christ is by being where God's people meet together to worship. We confess Christ when we just make it a point to be where the gospel's preached. You know, you chose to come here today. You all choose to come here week after week after week. And when you do that, that's a public confession of who you believe and what you believe. You know, there are certain places I will not, I mean, I utterly refuse. I would to darken the door. I just will not go in that place. Because doing so might look like I put my seal of approval on what they preach there, what they do there, and I just won't do it. When you come here every week, you're making a public confession. I'm identifying with that gospel. I'm identifying with those people. And I want people to know this is the place I am on Sundays and Wednesdays. For this reason, I identify with the gospel that's preached here. I confess it. I confess this people, that's my family. These are the people I love. I want to be identified, you know, with you. And if you truly believe Christ, don't you have to be where he is? If you truly believe Christ, don't you have to be where he's preached? Don't you have to be where he's worshipped? You do, don't you? You know, I really doubt the sincerity of someone's confession when they do not faithfully attend the worship service. I mean, somebody just never, ever attend. I kind of doubt, you know. Because a true confession of Christ is going to lead a person to order our lives around him, around his worship, around the worship of Christ. I want to find a way to be where he's preached. I want to find a way to be where he's at. I want to find a way to be with the other people of God. That's a confession of Christ. All right, fourthly, look in Matthew again, Matthew chapter 10. To confess Christ is to believe Christ, and is to believe him all the way to the end. In Matthew 10, verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, enduring to the end is an evidence of salvation. The Lord's not saying here that that is a condition of salvation. You have to, you know, muster up the strength to be able to endure all the way to the end, and then you'll be saved. No, what he's saying is enduring to the end is an evidence of salvation. It's an evidence that God saved you. Now, if you saved yourself, you're going to quit. If God saved you, you won't. And when a person does not endure to the end, and a person leaves and turns away from the gospel and turns to something else, I'll tell you what, it can only mean one thing. It can only mean they never did believe Christ in the heart. Never did. And I'm not being too hard on that now. I'm going to confess the same thing God says. Look, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. See, the Antichrist is not one person. There are many. It's a spirit that's anti-Christ. It says that does not confess Christ. It preaches a message that's opposed to Christ alone. They're anti-Christ. Whereby you know that it is the last time. Now they went out from us. Some went to follow these antichrists. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They went out and they followed another message that's anti-Christ because they never did believe Christ. They never did have God-given faith in the heart in the first place. Now, you who believe Christ, that scares you to death, doesn't it? That scares you to death. It does me. Remember when the Lord told his disciples, one of you is going to betray me? And they're all petrified. They said, Lord, is it I? Because I know I'd do that. If the Lord take his hand, I'd do that. Is it I? What will keep a believer from doing that? From following something that's anti-Christ? It's God-given faith in the heart. Look at verse 20, the same chapter. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You believe Christ, and you have an unction from the Holy One. That's what keeps you from believing. You know what is true and false. You know the gospel when you hear it. Because you've got God-given faith in the heart. Now look back at Hebrews chapter 11. Saving faith will continue confessing Christ all the way to the end. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about all these who believe God. The hall of faith here. All these who believe God. The writer says in Hebrews 11 verse 13. These all died in faith. They went to the end. They died in faith. They lived in faith and they died in faith. Not having received the promises, not having received these things all completely here on earth, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. The Lord said, will you also go away? Go. You can return. You're free if you want to go. But now, they didn't go. Now they desire a better country. That is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. See, they confessed, I'm following Christ. And he confessed them. He said, that's my people. He confessed them, and he's not ashamed to be identified with them. These all died in faith, and they didn't quit. They confessed this world's got nothing for them. I believe Christ, and I'm looking for a better country. I'm looking for something better. I'm looking for a heavenly country with spiritual life and spiritual blessings. True faith never quits. It believes Christ to the end. And then lastly, what is it to confess Christ? It is to confess Christ and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now, believer's baptism is very important. In Matthew 28, verse 19, our Lord commanded us to go teach all nations, baptizing them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. In Mark 16, verse 16, the Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Our Lord Jesus himself was baptized. Remember, he went to John the Baptist to be baptized, and John said, oh no, I'm not worthy. And he said, suffer it to be so now that we fulfill all righteousness. The Lord was baptized. So baptism is very important. Now here's a question. Does a person have to be baptized in order to be saved? Absolutely not. Now that doesn't mean baptism is not important. It just means this. You've got to believe Christ in order to be saved. That's all. You believe Christ and Christ alone. If you believe your salvation is Christ plus your baptism, you're not confessing Christ. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. It's believing Him alone. You must believe Christ in order to be saved. But there is reason to doubt the confession of someone who is not obedient to our Lord's commandment to be baptized. I ask, just like attending the worship service, how can you believe Christ and not obey Him? I mean, how can you love Christ and not want to confess Him as He commanded? He's commanded us to be baptized, to confess Him in believer's baptism. And if we truly believe Christ, you know, confessing Christ is a in believer's baptism is a joy. You know, we talk about this as the Lord's commandment. Brother, His commandments are not grievous. Now, confessing Christ in baptism, not saying, well, I just got to do this and obey it and get through it. No, it's a joy. It's a joy to be able to confess
that Christ saved me.
Oh, it's a blessing to be able to confess Christ and what He did for me. That Christ died, He was buried, and He rose again for me. For me. Now, I understand, you know, someone, especially, you know, our children, our young people grow up hearing the gospel, and just, I did. So I understand them. I understand the way it is. But I understand. I mean, I do. I experienced it. So I understand. I understand this thing of thinking, well, how do I know that this is just not up here in my head? My parents and drilled it into me. I got these teachers back in here drilling it to me every Sunday in Bible school, and they come here to the service, and my parents believe it. Just is what I've always said. How do I know that it's just, this is not the only thing I know. This is just what I have always done, and there's faith in the heart. That I don't want to do this flippantly. Well, only you can determine that. It's faith in the heart. But almost every time someone debates and wrestles with this for a long time and they confess Christ, almost every time I say, I wish I'd done this a long time ago. I did. I wish I'd done that a long time ago. Because baptism is a confession of Christ. It's a confession of salvation through union with Him. That what He did for me. What He did, I did in Him through union with Him. When Christ died for my sin, I died to sin in Him. When Christ died, I died to God's justice in Christ. Because I was in Him. When He died, I died because I was in Him. That's how I'm delivered from the justice of God against my sin, because I already died to it. When Christ was buried, I was buried in Him. And when Christ was raised, I was raised to new life in Him. That's what we confess in believers' baptism. And what a joy to be able to confess Christ that way, and to confess Christ in each of these ways that we looked at this morning. That's a blessing, to be able to confess Christ. Can you ever get over that God did that for you? My soul. What a joy to be able to confess Him and what He's done for us. I pray the Lord will enable us to confess Him like that. All right. I hope the Lord bless that to you.